Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The French election for Europe, for the EU, for NATO, and for the conflict with the Russian Federation and its allies. I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, writing about the French election. It's half over. Macron called an election of the Assembly. That election had two rounds, June 30th, in which candidates had to pass the 12% bar, and July 7th, the final product of the Assembly. There's a lot of horse trading going on right now because it appears that the National Rally, Marie Le Pen's party, called far right, did very well, 33% of the vote. The Coalition of the Left did well as also at 28%, and Mr. Macron's party, or the ones associated with Mr. Macron, did the least at 20%. However, in order to form a government, nobody has the majority for the Assembly. It might be that the National Rally is close, but it's not there. And the puzzle is, does the National Rally have allies in the left? Unlikely. In the center? Unknown. Gregory, a very good evening to you. I'm keen on what this means for Macron, because you and I have discussed for months now, maybe years, that he is the young, strident voice of the European Union and NATO. And over the last 6 months, I would say, he's made it clear that he believes Ukraine is something he can win. He's been bellicose. Of all the leaders of the EU and NATO, he's been the most outspoken. Does that go away now with the remainder of his presidency and a compromised assembly? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I think that President Macron's position is definitely weakened overall, but largely in the area that he will find it difficult to pass domestic legislation, particularly if the center-right of Marine Le Pen's party does come through strongly in that second round. Because that will give us the hung parliament, or it could even give us a significant majority for Rassemblement National, the National Rally Party of Marine Le Pen. But either way, what President Macron has been trying to do is to, in a sense, save Europe, because Germany has become a gaping, steaming hole in Europe. It's no longer the strong man of Europe. It's certainly not giving any moral or political leadership to the European Union. So Macron has tried to step up as the evidence of some kind of leadership, international level leadership within Europe. And he still could do that to a degree. And a lot of his posturing on Ukraine was specifically to show that Europe hadn't fallen apart on that issue. I think the whole Ukraine issue is going to go away over the next year or so anyway, with the probable collapse of US funding. But Macron will still try to posture himself in the European Union and globally as showing that there is strength left in Europe. But Europe is changing. Well, we've seen not just with the Assembly Nationale elections last Sunday and then the second round on the next Sunday. We also saw it with the June 6th to 9th European Union parliamentary elections. The whole movement of the member countries of the European Union is away from the leftist umbrella of the European Union and towards a reassertion of nationalism. It's the same debate we're seeing in North America, and particularly in the United States, the schism between the globalists and the nationalists. So that's what's happening in Europe. It's happening with a vengeance there, as well as it is in the United Kingdom. which is going to elections on July the 4th. So we're seeing the movement, regardless of what happens in the next few weeks with the different elections, the movement is toward nationalism and away from the globalist mentality. Now, we're going to see the globalists putting up a fight. This is the left and ultra-left in France particularly. They are putting up a strong fight, as we've seen in the last few days with literally riots on the streets of Paris. The party which is the party of violence and threats is now the left in France, which is not unusual. In fact, what we're seeing is this demonstration of fascism by the left, particularly when they're going out daubing the walls of French buildings with mort aux fasces, in other words, death to the fascists. It's the most fascist-like call you can imagine.
I want to push a little bit about nationalism. That certainly describes the national rally. It certainly describes Alternative for Deutschland in Germany and the Brotherhoods of Italy, Giorgio Meloni's party, and Vox in Spain, are nationalists. And there are more. They're in the Netherlands, in the Scandinavia as well. What is it about nationalism that's objectionable that they want to stop? What it's concerned about immigration. So are the globalists. Macron himself has talked about immigration. It's concerned about security. So is the center and the right. It's concerned about governments out of control, spending too much money and not adequately having resources, raising taxes. So where is the objection? What is the allegation that has to be refuted?
Well, it doesn't have to be refuted. What we're doing is what we're seeing is the battle between the cliches of the globalists and the cliches of the nationalists. What we've seen successfully undertaken by the globalists in the past 30, 40 years is this demonization of nationalism as though it were the cause of war, which is what they expressly say it is. And that's literally far-fetched. It's also decried the family values. It's also decried traditional religion. So you can't even really talk in terms of, you know, the Christian West anymore or the Judeo-Christian West anymore. That's regarded as some kind of fascist symbolism. So the globalists have been very successful in moving in painting that anything that the nationalists suggest is positive as being negative. Now, I think Macron himself is not a globalist. I think he is a nationalist within the context of the European Union. I think he also would like to move France away from the rigid leftism of the European Union. That would give him more maneuvering room. But France can't leave Europe in the way that Britain left Europe with the 2016 referendum to say, well, okay, we're putting a big line down the English Channel to declare our independence. France can't do that. It's stuck on the continent and is forced to either balance or counterbalance or compensate for Germany. So Macron has a job to do there. He can't abandon that, and France can't abandon that. But we will see the fact that Macron is weak, no matter who he allies with, whether it's the moderate left or the moderate right. But it's at the end of the day, he's finished with this term. Not that he can stand again, but he's got another couple of years of uncertainty. In the meantime, Germany's going to elections by mid to late next year, and the very, very wishy-washy and collapsed left there under the Social Democratic Party, the SPD of Olaf Scholz, that's going to go away, and you'll see a centre-right government and probably a centre-right government if AfD joins with the CSU and CDU in creating a new government structure. So the whole momentum, whether it's in Poland, Hungary, Italy, France, the Netherlands, Denmark, and the like, is moving to a conservative trend, just as it is in the United States, just as it is in Britain. And in Britain, although clearly Labour is going to be the alternative replacement for the current Conservative Party, the reality is that the Conservative Party is being kicked out because it didn't fulfil the promises which it made to the electorate, particularly the old Labour voters who wanted Britain out of the European Union and wanted it to be more of a nationalist government and restricting the immigrants and the like. So it's not that Labour is being voted in, it's that the Conservatives are being voted out and the spare votes are going really toward the Reform UK party, which is the party of Brexit, the one which really sponsored Brexit, and which is clamouring for Britain to reject the illegal and legal immigration tide, which has moved from around 50,000 a year to 650,000 a year, and that's just in legals, plus 1.5 million or so in the past year in illegal immigrants. So there's a great outcry there. Labour's not going to address it. You and I were discussing earlier whether Labour could attempt to surreptitiously put Britain back in the European Union. I don't think they would even dare contemplate that, given the outcry that it would generate. They could, they almost certainly will, however, keep Britain in the European Court of Human Rights, which has been the great body which has stopped Britain from expelling illegal immigrants.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to South America, Bolivia, for an example of a coup that wasn't a coup that is useful if you play it correctly afterwards. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.